In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, for God, Amen. Through the grace of God, we will study today chapter 28 from the book of Acts. And this is actually the last chapter in the book of Acts. Let me first give you our slide of the chapter. In chapter 27, we read about the trip of St. Paul as a prisoner to Rome. And because of the winter time, and there was a very, very bad storm, the ship was destroyed, and they landed at an island. And this island actually happened to be the island of Malta. So the first part of the chapter is about the events that happened in the island of Malta. And as I told you, St. Paul here was taken to Rome as a prisoner in order to be tried before Caesar. At the time he was Nero. Then the second part of the chapter about the arrival of St. Paul again as a prisoner to Rome. And the last part of the chapter is about the ministry of St. Paul while he was under house arrest in Rome for 2 years. His ministry in Rome, although he was under house arrest, but we read about his ministry in Rome for 3 years. Actually, Book of Acts started with chapter 1 in Jerusalem and ended with in Rome. Rome at that time was still at the height of its power, had conquered much of Europe, part of Asia and Northern Africa. So, in 50 years, and these 50 years is between chapter 1 and chapter 28, the Book of Acts records to us actually history of only 30 years. In these 30 years, we see how Christianity is spread from Jerusalem all over the world and reaches even the capital of the Roman Empire, Rome itself, only in 30 years. And the Book of Acts ends simply with St. Paul was under house arrest in Rome, and he was reaching there. And was given some freedom, waiting for his trial in the front of the emperor. But I'm sure this is not a normal way to end a book or to end a story. It's a strange way not to end the book abruptly. What happened here, actually, Luke, the author of the Book of Acts, did not intend the book, did not intend to end the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts is written in a way to be a continuing story till the second coming of Christ. And our life then are continuing the Book of Acts. That's why the ordination of the patriarch, I'm sure you still remember the ordination of Pope Tabarcus, or his throne. And the ordination of the bishops are done after the reading of the parties, which is the Book of Acts. Why? Because the patriarch and the bishops are the successor of the apostles. So this ordination happens after the Book of Acts to say we are continuing the Book of Acts. And when we study church history until now, actually we are studying the rest of the Book of Acts. That's why the Book of Acts does not end with the word Amen, like most of the other books. It has an open ending, because the Book of Acts did not end yet. Now we are writing the continuation of the Book of Acts. And the same power that was given to the apostles to witness for Christ, the same power is given to us also as believers. And we have also to witness for Christ and to preach the gospel of salvation to everybody. And as God gives them specific gifts for the purpose of the ministry, in the same way, each one of us as believers has received at least one gift for the purpose of becoming a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ until the second coming of Christ. So let's start reading the book of Acts, verse by verse. Verse 1. Now, when they had escaped, they returned to Capernaum and other prisoners and all the people who were on the ship. So, when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And we noticed that during this time, it was a winter time, and that's why the ship was destroyed. And it was very rainy. It was a big storm. It was rainy, cold, and the travelers escaped to the island. Malta is about 60 miles from the coast of Sicily, and has been a Roman colony since 218 before Christ. The natives of this island of Malta showed kindness by kindling fire and welcoming them. Of course, they were very, very cold from the storm. And some of them actually, they swam to reach the island. They stood in a very, very cold weather to reach the island. That's why they needed some heat. So they kindled a fire and they welcomed them. Verse 2. And the natives showed us unusual kindness. For they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. And this actually translation, if you see, they used the word native. But actually, if you read in Arabic, فَقَدَّانَ أَنْ لُغَ الْبَرَبِرَ and in Old King James, you will find it the Berberian, not the native. And here just I want to explain this point. The Greek regarded all those who did not speak their language as Berberian. Any person from anywhere who does not speak their language, they consider him barbarian. And they apply the name to all other nations except their own nation. So the word barbarian here means they are foreigners. They are not native as Greek. They are not Greek as native. Verse 3, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and settled on his head. Here we see that while Paul was gathering sticks, a viper sticks with his hand and bit. St. Paul took here the role of a servant because he was considered a leader. But instead of waiting for the people to serve him, he helped. And actually, this is not the first time to see St. Paul helping. In his ministry, he said, my necessities and the necessities of those who are traveling with me, serving with my companions, I am served by this hand. Also on the ship, if you read chapter 27, we saw how St. Paul on the ship was helping others to throw the furniture from the fence. And here also, by gathering the sticks and kindling the fire, he displayed how he is also a servant. So I can call St. Paul, he was a servant leader. He was a servant leader like the Lord Jesus Christ, who said about himself, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. So, what was the reaction of the natives when they saw this gift hanging in the hands of St. Paul? Verse 4, when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow with it. If we analyze their words, as they told you, St. Paul was a prisoner, and they did not know what was his accusation or what was his crime. So they judged that he is a murderer. He is a murderer. And many times we make judgment based on what we see, and this judgment comes to be false. That's why we should not jump in conclusion. We should not. Unless we have all the information and we are in a position to make a conclusion or to make a judgment. But they judged him as the murderer. Also, another thing, if we analyze their reaction, they knew that there is a God who governs the world. That's why things do not come to pass by chance. So in their mind, this beast that hangs from the hand of St. Paul is not by chance. They came up with a theory. What was the theory? St. Paul is a member. So he deserves to die. Now he has escaped the sea and he did not die on the ship during this shipwreck. So the divine justice did not allow St. Paul to survive. That's why although he survived the shipwreck, now actually he will die from this beast. The divine justice will not let him escape. Verse 5, but he, St. Paul, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. St. Paul had a promise from God that he will go to Rome and stand before Caesar. So acting on this promise and believing and trusting in this promise, St. Paul was not secure when the plague actually hit him. He was not scared. Simply, he shook off the viper and suffered no harm. He trusted God. And he still believed that God will make him go to Rome and stand before him. This reminds me of the promise of God to us in Mark chapter 16, verse 18. When God told us that even if we are bitten by a snake, it will not affect them. He gave us power and authority to transfer over snakes and scorpions. So that is the faith of St. Paul. He believed in God's promise that he will make it into Rome. But I want to ask you a question. Do you think it is by chance or just coincidence that no one else gets bit except St. Paul? Of course not. Satan, and the word Satan actually means the opponent of God. So Satan actually is working against God. God's plan is to send the son Paul to Rome. And now Satan is working and doing his best to stop the plan of God. So Satan is doing his best to stop the plan of God. What happens after verse 6? However, he was expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall down dead. You know, and if someone is bitten by a poison snake, his body will swell and then he will die. So he was waiting to see the body of the Paul is swelling and then to fall down dead. But this did not happen. But after he had looked for a long time and saw no heart come to him, they changed their mind and said that he was a God. See how people change their opinion? Few minutes ago, he said he is a murderer and deserves death. Now they say about him, he is a God. And actually, this is not the first time that people think that St. Paul is a God. First time was in Thessalonians, in Acts chapter 14, verse 18 and 19. Also the people there believed that St. Paul is a God, and they wanted actually to offer sacrifices to him. Many people actually, it's very important for them what the people think of them. Although we should pay attention to people's opinion, but this actually is not the most important thing. Because people's opinion can change quickly. On Ramadan Sunday, they called Jesus the King of Israel. 5 days later, they said, crucify him, crucify him. The same was St. Paul, he called him murderer. And a few minutes later, he said, he is God. He is God. Verse 7. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizens of the island, who is known more popular, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. The leading citizen of the island is like the governor of the island and became one pope. And there was a state, it seems like a palace, like a big house. And Publius, actually, he received them and hosted them for 3 days. The word up here, we don't know whether it is referring to St. Paul and his companions like St. Luke, or was referring to all the people who went on the ship. It's not clear that the word up in verse 7 and also in verse 10 refers either to St. Paul and his companions or to everybody who was in the ship. And apparently, God wants the people in Malta to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he sent St. Paul there. And he allowed or Satan actually to make this deed to hang in the hands of St. Paul. In order for the people to know that there is a supernatural power with St. Paul. And this will actually prepare the stage for St. Paul to speak to them about Christ and to preach the gospel of salvation for them. And St. Paul, as we know from verse 11, he stayed there 3 months, and during these 3 months, he preached Christ to them. As I told you, Bobby was the governor, and he entertained the traveler for 3 days. Verse 8, and it happened that the father of Bobbius, the governor, lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hand on him and healed him. Again, St. Paul actually took this opportunity to preach to them. By performing a miracle of healing, this actually will open the door for preaching. Here the father of the governor was sick with fever and dysentery. And St. Paul actually prayed, laid his hands on him, and healed him to show that how God works and to take this opportunity to preach the gospel to them. When St. Paul did this miracle, many people from the island went actually to St. Paul, as we read in verse 9. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. So this opens the door for everybody on the island to come and hear about St. Paul, hear about Christ, and hear about the gospel of salvation. And because of all these miracles, as we read in verse 10, they also honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. So the people of the island honored them, and when we departed the island to Rome, they gave them some necessities, maybe food, maybe clothes, some necessities on the road. But it is interesting here to notice that St. Paul, St. Luke, was a companion of St. Paul, and St. Luke was a physician, but we didn't read any, hear anything about him engaging in these cures. So he put his profession aside and let God work through St. Paul in healing these people. Verse 11, after 3 months, which means he stayed in Malta for 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brother, which had wintered at the island. And you know, Alexandria at that time used to send wheat to Rome. So many ships from Alexandria go to Rome carrying wheat. This ship apparently spent the winter at Malta because it was dangerous to sail during the winter. And when the winter was over, they used this ship to go to Rome. And the ship was called Twin Brother. Twin Brother. Now spring has arrived and the wind has changed and the weather is much, much better. So now they can sail north of the world towards heaven. Verse 12, and landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. Verse 13, and from there we circled around and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day, the town went blue, and the next day we came to Tours. So here we sent to Syracuse, Rhegium, and then to Turin. Syracuse actually is a port city on the east coast of Sicily. And it's about 90 miles northeast of Malta. 90 miles northeast of Malta. Syracuse is considered the most important city in Sicily. And the shape of Italy, the shape of Italy is described like a giant pool, a giant pool. The region is a harbor on the shore of Italy. If we think about it as a giant pool, so the region is considered a harbor as the shore of Italy. And it is also 150 miles away from Rome. Turin is 250 miles north of video and write things to modern Italian city called Naples. So, Tuli is next to Naples, current Naples. The word Tuli means little world, little world, because it was famous of hydrothermal wells that were in the city. Tuli also was the cargo port for Rome. And there was very close, it was very close to a naval base. Naval base, a base for the Navy, and Messenium, which held actually the largest naval fleet in the ancient world. But because of many earthquakes, this story actually most of it sinks under the water, has sunk under the water because of earthquakes. And we know from the epistle to Romans that there was a church at Rome. And St. Paul was anxious to visit this church at Rome. And actually there are many brethren and many believers in Rome. We know this from Romans chapter 15, verse 1, and verse 3, verse 5 to verse 15. So I'm sure St. Paul was very, very happy to arrive to Rome in order to meet the brethren there. Verse 14, where we found brethren, brethren means believers, and were invited to stay with them 7 days. So they stayed in Tuli 7 days. While maybe the architect went upstairs the following Sunday in order to celebrate the liturgy. So we went toward Rome. And apparently the commander of the ship agreed that St. Paul is staying there with the brethren, with the believers, because as we read in chapter 27, God gives grief and fever in the eyes of the commander. So he approved that St. Paul is staying in Tuli for 7 days to celebrate the Eucharist with the brethren there. And after a week, they started toward Rome as we read. After the 7 days, so we went toward Rome. Verse 15, and from there, when the brethren heard about us, he's the brethren in Rome, when we heard about St. Paul, they came to meet us as far as Amphipora and 3M. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. They took one of the famous roads toward Rome, and this traffic was by land, not by sea. And the way of the road was the counselor way to Caicos, and until they arrived to Rome. The church in Rome, who received actually the letter of St. Paul, when they heard that St. Paul had arrived, so actually they did not wait until St. Paul arrived to the city, but they ran to meet him and to greet him on the way, because they already received the epistle to Romans, and I'm sure here many of them were so anxious to meet St. Paul. Also, as we know from Romans chapter 16, verse 3, that Aquila and Priscilla have returned to their old home, Rome. So actually we expect that Aquila and Priscilla were among the people who received St. Paul. The Roman road system had checkpoints every 10 to 15 miles. And here actually they mentioned that the people or the brethren met St. Paul as Amphipora and 3M. What are Amphipora and 3M? These are actually checkpoints. Both the 3M and Amphipora is landmark checkpoints. So some of the brethren take St. Paul and Amphipora, which is 43 miles away from Rome, and another group met St. Paul and the companions at the Three Hills, which is 10 miles near the great city Rome. Of course, when St. Paul saw the brethren and saw the support from them, it was wonderful to see how the brethren come especially to meet St. Paul on the road. So this gave them actually a lot of encouragement and a lot of support. It came a chilling time that the Church of Rome went especially to meet St. Paul on the road. The distance traveled by land from Tory to Rome is 135 miles. And of course, as a pastor, with no car. So this was a big, big travel from Tory to Rome, 135 miles. Verse 16. Now when we came to Rome, the centurion, which was the captain of the accompanied St. Paul from Caesarea to Rome, so the centurion delivered the prisoner to the captain of the guard. The mission of the centurion was to keep them and to escort them from Caesarea to Rome. Once he arrived in Rome, he should take all the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with a soldier who guarded them. So he was like under house arrest. He was given permission to dwell by himself in a residence that he chose with a soldier who guarded him. The captain of the guard actually is the highest military authority in the city. It's the highest military authority in the city. And all the prisoners who used to go to be tried before the emperor, actually they had to be delivered to the captain of the guard. Originally, actually, there were two captains. But from the year 51 AD to the year 62 AD, only one distinguished general held that office. And during this time, St. Paul was delivered to Rome. And as well, St. Paul was allowed to choose his own residence under the guard of a soldier. Verse 17. And it came to pass after 3 days. Not a thing fell like this from Malta to Rome at that time, and traveling 135 miles by land. Do you think how many days a person needs to rest? But St. Paul actually never learned how to rest. He started working and started teaching immediately. And actually, I can assume during these 3 days, there was no resting. But during these 3 days, actually, he spent the time with the believers, preaching them, talking to them about Christ. Then, after these 3 days, he started to preach the Jews, as it was his custom, starting with the Jews, and if the Jews refused to accept the word of the gospel, then he goes to the Gentiles. So it came to pass, after 3 days, that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the custom of our father, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." He started to explain to the Jews why he is here and why he has come here as a prisoner. Of course, he couldn't go to the Jewish leader, who is under house arrest. So he called them to come to his house where he can speak to them. But we know from the history of Rome that Claudius expelled all the Jews from Rome in 49 AD. Then, from where these Jews came, maybe these Jews, Isaac, his kid, from closing pasture, or maybe they moved back to Rome after the death of Claudius, who actually died from poisoning. And then Paul gathered them and he started to speak to them. He started by his speech by saying, I have done nothing against my people, or against the law of Moses, or against the temple. But in spite of this, the Jews actually falsely accused me, and I came as a prisoner to Rome here. Why he started like this? Not to defend himself, but how can you believe somebody or listen to a preaching of somebody if there is actually malicious report about this person? So Paul here was not defending by himself, but by saying this would give their attention in order to listen to him and to listen to his preaching about Christ. So lest they should have heard or received malicious report about him, he thought it the best to explain to himself that he has done nothing against his own nation or against the law of Moses. And he told them, I was taken as a prisoner from Jerusalem into Rome. Verse 18. Who, the Roman, when he had examined me, wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. And this is true. Actually, when Agrippa, the king, and the governor examined the poor, they said, both of them, they said, he has done nothing deserving death. So he told them, I have been examined, and I was about to be released. But because the Jews spoke against my release, that's why he appealed to Caesar. And he wants them to understand his position. I'm not appealing to Caesar to accuse or complain against my nation and against my kinsmen, my brethren, the Jews. But I was actually in no option. I had to do this. Because the Jews spoke against my release. That's why I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, as we read in verse 19. But when the Jews spoke against my relief, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation, since my appeal to Caesar is not to accuse my nation, but I had no option. They left me with no option. So he was speaking to them as a brother, as a kinsman, and he told them, my appeal to Caesar was out of necessity to save my life, but I'm not here to accuse my brethren or my nation before the Roman Empire. Verse 20, for this reason therefore, I have called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am now in this chain. So that's why he called to them, to speak about what? To speak about the hope of Israel. What was the hope of Israel? The hope of Israel is the Messiah. So here he wants to tell them, your hope is Christ, who is crucified. And because of your hope, the Messiah, I am now bound with his chain. So, his first desire, or the purpose, his purpose of gathering the leaders of the Jews to his house, was to tell them, I am your brother, and I'm sharing with you the same hope, the hope of the Messiah. And the Messiah is Jesus Christ. And now actually I'm proclaiming you this good news in order to believe in him. And because of Jesus, because of the Messiah, because of your hope, I am delivered in chain to Rome here. verse 21, this they said to him, they, the Jewish people, said to him, we neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or speaking any evil of you. Whether this is true or not, we don't know. But they indicated that they have not received any letter, nor heard any evil spoken of such folk. Maybe this is not true, and maybe the local Jews try to pretend that they know nothing about this. Why? Because we don't want to put in trouble and to be set against from Rome. So in order to keep everything peaceful, he said, we did not receive any letter and we did not hear anything from the people who came from here. Verse 22, but we desire to hear from you what you think for concerning this text. We know that it is spoken against everywhere. They called the Christianity his text. And they told him, we have desire to learn about this text. And also they admitted that everywhere the Jews speak against Christianity. As they said, we know that it is spoken against Christianity everywhere. So here they showed interest that they want to hear that quote. And this means they heard about that Paul and him was so great to the extent that they desired to hear from that Paul about what he thinks about this thing according to them. And they want to hear the answer from that Paul. But also they said it is spoken against everywhere, and this was true that everywhere the Jews spoke against the Christians. Against Christians. And the treatment that St. Paul suffered is a great indication how the Jews persecuted Christians and how they mistreated St. Paul. So, they are telling him, why we did not hear, we did not hear anything negative about you as a person, but we heard the negative things about Christianity and want to know your opinion about this matter. Verse 23. So, when he had appointed a day, many came to him at his lodging. Again, why at his lodging? Because he was on the house of the rest. To whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God. So he starts to testify about the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, that Jesus is the Messiah, from the law of Moses and the prophets. For how many hours? From the morning till evening. So, a whole day, he used just to explain to them, and to persuade them, and to prove them, to them from the law of Moses and the prophets, that Jesus is the Messiah. What did he say about the kingdom of God? He told them that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, because the Jews in their mind were looking for an earthly kingdom. So St. Paul, when he spoke to them about the kingdom of God, he explained to them, Christ is a spiritual king. He said, my kingdom is not out of this world, it's a spiritual kingdom. And he proved this from the prophets and the law of Moses, that this kingdom is not just the one, but really the one. And also he spoke to them about Jesus. He told them that the crucified Jesus is the true Messiah, and his kingdom is the spiritual kingdom. These two points were probably the main points that St. Paul addressed from morning to evening, using the law of Moses and the prophets to persuade them. Actually, most of the apostles, when they preached the truth, they used the Old Testament. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, when he spoke to the two disciples of Emmaus, having persuaded them with his resurrection, as we read in Luke chapter 24, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he found to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, this was the typical preaching of the apostles when they go to the synagogue of the Jews. They used the law of Moses and prophets to explain to them and to prove to them that Jesus is the Messiah. And if they did not believe, then they turned to the Gentiles. Verse 24. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So there was a division here. When they heard the doctrine of Christ, a division happened. A division happened. Here, remember when the Lord Jesus Christ said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, to divide the house, the Father against the Son, and not against the Father. How this division, or why this division? Because some people believe, and some people don't believe. So the doctrine here is simple. Some persuaded, and some disbelieved. And until now, actually, when we hear the gospel puts us in one of two groups. One group who believes the gospel, who obeys the gospel, who lives by the word of God, and those will be saved, and those will inherit the eternal life. But the other group, they may listen to the gospel, and the people who listen to the gospel, but they don't live by the gospel, they don't live by the word of God. They disbelieve, or at least they do not make their life according to the word of God. And actually, these people, they put their foundation at a very, very high risk. The word of God is a piece of life to those who believe, and a piece of death to those who are disobedient, as reported in his letter to the Corinthians. Verse 25, so when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. So he concluded this very, very long sermon from morning to evening with a quote from Isaiah. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our father, saying, go to these people and say, hearing you will hear and you shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of these people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart, and turn so that I should heal them. So St. Paul actually finished his preaching by this quote from Isaiah chapter 6, from verse 9 and verse 10. This passage from Isaiah 6, 9 and 10 is quoted 6 times in the New Testament, 4 times in the 4 Gospels, in Matthew chapter 13, in Mark chapter 4, in Luke chapter 8, and in John chapter 12. And also was quoted in Acts chapter 28, and another quote in Romans chapter 11. Maybe there is no other Old Testament passage is quoted in the New Testament like this passage, was quoted 6 times in the New Testament. And it is applied to the unbelievers from the Jews. This passage reflects what? Reflects its stubbornness. Reflects the willful unbelief the decision not to believe and the full opposition for the will of God. Because if we read this verse, they will hear and they will see. But they will hear and not understand, refuse to understand. They will see, but they will not perceive. And what is the reason? It's because of the hardness of the heart. The heart of these people has grown dull. And three things that make our hearts dull. Either love of money, materialism, or love of pleasure, or actually pride and ego. These three things make our hearts dull. So we will see and hear, but will not perceive or understand. Because of the dullness of our heart. There is our heart to hear, and their heart we have closed. Intentionally they close, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. God give us the gospel to be healed. The word of God will heal me. But if I close my eye and I shut my ear, I will not be healed. It is for my disappointment that I will not accept the word of God. And this actually is about the suffering of the Jews who so many things and still they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This prophecy is fulfilled during the time of Isaiah, because they did not believe Isaiah. And another time was fulfilled during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, and actually they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And a third time was fulfilled during the ministry of the apostles. They did not believe, and they persecuted and killed many, many apostles. And until now, actually, the Jews, although the message is very clear, and if Jesus, if they read the Old Testament carefully, they will know that Jesus is the Messiah. But until now, they reject to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why St. Paul says in verse 28, therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear. Although you are the chosen people of God, St. Paul is speaking for addressing the Jews, although you are the chosen people of God, but could you reject him? He gave his own, and his own did not accept him. That's why the gospel will be sent to the disciples. The salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear, and they will accept. And now, the result of Christians, or the Christians, the result of sin here, are from the Gentiles, not from the Jews. And this was the final word of St. Paul to the Jews, before he started the beginning of his ministry among the Gentiles. From this moment, he turned his ministry to the Gentiles because the Jews refused the word of God. And the Jews departed and had great feud among themselves. Verse 13, verse 29, and when he had said his word, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt two whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. St. Paul was allowed to rent his own house, and he stayed there under house arrest for 3 years. His expense, how he supported himself, was met during this period by the church in Rome. Also, he received financial support and aid from other churches like Philippians. We read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, how the Philippians sent to the need of St. Paul. all who have fallen to Calvary these 2 years received all who came to him, doing well, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching them concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And he taught with all confidence, because as he said, I am confident by whom I have believed. So he taught with confidence, and no one forbade him. And this is actually the message for all of us, to continue preaching the word of God, the kingdom of God, the salvation of Christ, and we need actually to do this with all confidence, and God will help us, that nobody will forbid us in order to preach the kingdom of God. Actually, and it is amazing to know that while he was still under house arrest, this chains did not prevent him from preaching to others. And because of this preaching, we know that many people in Rome believe, not only many people in Rome believe, but even people in the palace of Nero believe, and some of them became saints, like what we read in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, that some of people in the Roman palace believe in Christ, Philippians chapter 1, verse 13, and also Philippians 4, 22. These people who believe in Rome and in the palace of the emperor are the fruit of the ministry of St. Paul. St. Paul was permitted to see and preach clearly to all who came unto him. During these 2 years, he wrote 4 epistles. 4 of his epistles were written during this time. The letter to Ephesians, the letter to Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. So these 4 letters were written while St. Paul was under house arrest in Rome. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. And if we analyze these 4 letters, we know about some people who accompanied St. Paul during his imprisonment in Rome. Maybe not the whole time, maybe not the whole 3 years, but they came and spent some time with him in Rome. These people are Luke, Timothy, Epaphroditus, St. Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Tychicus. So, at least these 7 persons spent some time with St. Paul in his house in Rome while he was under house arrest. And these 2 years actually made a big, big difference in the ministry in Rome, and that's why we usually debate with the Catholics who preaches Christianity in Rome. Is it St. Paul or St. Peter? Later on, Nero started persecuting Christians, and actually St. Paul was martyred by the hand of Nero. The book of Acts was never designed to end at chapter 28, as I explained at the beginning. As I told you, it was meant to be a continuous story that ends at the second coming of Christ. What is the main theme of the book of Acts? The main theme of the book of Acts, as we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. God called all of us, each one of us, to be his witness. And God gave us the Holy Spirit to witness for him, and give us the power from on high to be witness and without hindrance. Even the chain did not hinder St. Paul from witnessing to Christ. So, what would we do? Are we going to continue the book of Acts by witnessing to Christ or not? I will leave you with this question. Glory be to God forever and ever.